comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! Town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
The CBS call of yesterday's Hail Mary walk-off final second win for the Commanders. A 52-yard touchdown pass from Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown. Noah Brown will be on our show tomorrow. Fired up about that. We'll also have Austin Ekeler in his normal 5 o'clock spot on a Tuesday G&D. We're excited for the start of the football season, but we know some folks around us have lost a family member or a friend recently. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Cundor & Murad. They'll guide you through a difficult probate administrative process if that's what you need. They'll help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. You'll get a discount. Before we get to Don't Forget About, Danny, one thing I haven't heard anybody talk about, which I thought was actually pretty cool. I've actually seen people take issue with this, and I find that odd, too. Emmanuel Forbes yesterday, picking up a couple of the Bears players after the Hail Mary, was completed, the touchdown, won Washington the game, and Forbes was helping a couple of the DBs up who were sitting there, like kids that had just won, lost the NCAA tournament, you know, with a game-winning shot or something, and Forbes started picking them up, which is the epitome of sportsmanship and, I thought, class and dignity. I don't know if that's one of those things where people don't like Forbes because he hasn't played well as a player, so they decide to make his show of class like weakness or something. I didn't really get that. But I thought what he does in that moment is a show of character, and I really liked it.
I thought it was wonderful.
The game was over.
Yeah. That was strange to me that there was negative reaction there. I mean... You know, maybe if like a Mother Teresa does it, then it's positive. But because he hasn't played well and only played 6 snaps and wasn't a factor, people got mad. But that to me is regardless of what's going on. Like, as bad as things have gone for you, you could still be a decent person, right?
Exactly. Everyone's
like, you order your food wrong. You know, like you make your eggs wrong. Everything about what you're doing is wrong, and the fans are irritated because of the expectations you had. But all you're doing, you're not doing that for the cameras. You're doing that because you get it. You get what struggle's like. You get the, you know, defeat snatched away from victory feels like. You've been on the business end of those things. Everybody has. So you're bigger than yourself in those moments. I actually thought that was great.
He single-handedly kind of gets 2 of the Bears off the ground, lifting them up right after the Hail Mary and the loss for them at their lowest moment. And I just think as an organization, in year one as an ownership group with your control of this team, I know they came on right before the start of camp last year, but a new front office, a new coaching staff. Like, what do you want to be? What kind of image are you trying to portray? What does it mean to be a Commander? We're going to fight you tooth and nail. We're going to go at you for 60 minutes. We're going to have a knockdown, drag-out fight. But when that thing's over, we're decent human beings, and we're going to act as such. And I just thought that was the type of class that you want your organization to be known for. It's like seeing one of your employees out in the wild doing a good thing, and they get credit for it. You know, look at this guy who was an employee at Chick-fil-A, and in the parking lot, he helped this person start their car. Like, that's what it was to me. And I just thought it was a really good moment for Forbes, and I think anybody crushing him is either a tough guy who's completely out of touch on what football really is, or someone who just doesn't like him because he hasn't played well. And to that I would say, as I did a few weeks ago when we talked about the fans screaming at the Giants and Daniel Jones as they walked to the parking lot, grow up a little bit. The game is over. This is not like he's picking a guy up in the middle of the play, Tyreek Stevenson style, where he wasn't able to help defend a pass for Washington because he was busy picking someone up. The game had ended. He walked out on the field, and rather than going and jumping around with his teammates, he saw someone who was down and said, "Hey, man, good game."
Yeah, one of my best friends in the entire world, we became really close in seventh grade. The end of school there's this big track and field day. It's like a big deal in the lower school. And you realize now in retrospect, it probably wasn't that big a deal, but at the time it's your whole world. And my team lost the 4x100 relay to his team. I had a big lead. I was running the anchor leg, and he chased me down, and he ended up winning by a couple of steps. I was devastated. It was like the end of my life at that point. You know, like nothing will ever go right. It's just devastating. I let everyone down. It was terrible. And he left celebrating to come talk to me, put his arm around me. And I remember going home that afternoon. And my mom drove me home, and I thought, I'm going to be friends with that guy for the rest of my life. And I was the best man at his wedding. So, like, that kind of stuff goes a much longer way. People remember humanity a lot more than the six snaps you did or didn't play. So I just thought that was great. Just a quick editorial there, if I may. Quick don't forget about, if I may.
Well, let's get to forget about then right now on Grant and Danny.
So on the telecast, both Jim Nantz and Tony Romo came to a very quick and simple and easy consensus. I didn't think it was that easy of a decision, and maybe I'm in the minority, and you could tell me that I'm full of it here. Jaden Daniels scrambles on third down with about 4 minutes and change to go. It's fourth and not that much. I know that would have been the gutsiest decision in the history of gutsy decisions.
Go for it.
I'm sitting there at home going, are we sure that they, because Romo goes, oh, you gotta punt it here, Jim. Do you?
No, you don't.
I kind of went, I understand the repercussions. And at the podium, if it doesn't go well, Chicago scores, you lose the game. You know, everybody's going to have the questions for you, and it's unorthodox, and everyone's going to make fun. But I'm going, I don't know that you have to punt here. Again, it's a big risk. But my point is, where was the momentum? What was happening in the game? That, to me, was a hidden decision that ends up working out because they get the Hail Mary. But I'm going, I don't want to give them the ball because they're now moving it against my defense. They've now scored. They look a lot better than they did for the first three quarters. A touchdown beats me. I don't want to give them the ball back. I want two first downs and I want them in the game.
So here's the sequence you're talking about for people that haven't remembered the exact spot. It's fourth and one from the 12, but it's not really
one. It's a soft one.
It's 3 inches, 5 inches. Now, you're at your own 12. So somebody's listening to this going, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? You can't go for a fourth down with a one-possession lead at the 12-yard line, 12 yards from your own end zone. And to that, I say I disagree with you. Because for a couple of reasons here, okay? Number one, at that moment in the game, they were ahead 12-7,
mm-hmm.
Right? Let me think. No.
It's 12-7.
Because they get a two-point conversion. Correct. 12-7, fourth and inches. Here's why I go for that. Number one, I think I get it. I'm pretty sure I do. I have not been stopped on fourth down all year. I've got a cheat code in Jaden Daniels who's really impossible to defend in that spot. I'm going read option. And so if you play it perfectly with penetration and you blow up the run, I pull it and I've got the corner. It's almost impossible for you to cover everything. In other words, you're not going to be able to take Robinson away and also take Daniels away on the edge. And if you do both, then you're definitely not able to take away an RPO where I throw the ball to somebody on the outside. So I think if you have a read option with an RPO look there or something like that, we've seen it for years with the Ravens. If they only need a foot or two, they're going to get it. You can't be stopped. Now, if that's not good enough for you and you go, I just can't risk it, a bad snap, somehow somebody does something wrong, you run into each other, you can't fall over at your own 10 or 11, not get it, and now they get the ball. Here's why I would have done it. Because there was, at that time, only about 4 minutes left in the game.
Yep.
I want them to score faster, not slower. So you're ahead 12-7. If they go ahead to win the football game, I need time to go down the field and still win. Now, this gets relegated by the fact and just dismissed outright because there was a Hail Mary that never happens, and you still had enough time with 25 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the actual chances of them winning were under 2% when they got the football back with 25 seconds left. I would rather give a team the ball at the 12 and have time on the other end to go get the game-tying field goal.
Especially because I only have one timeout left. That plays
exactly
in for me as well.
And
so
because
remember,
the worst-case scenario, you'd be down 3 points. You couldn't be down four. You wouldn't have to score a touchdown. Even with touchdown two-point conversion, you need a field goal. And you're giving yourself a couple of minutes instead of, Danny, what turned into 25 seconds.
And so remember, the last several possessions for Chicago had not gone like the early part of the game. End of the third quarter, they score on the long run.
Exactly.
Fourth quarter, they there was a three and out in there, but I fully admit that. But the previous time, they get down to your 1 yard line and called one of the dumb plays in history. They not anything you did. You didn't stop anybody. They vomited all over themselves. They're right there again. They have found your kryptonite at this point. Whatever it is, whether you're doing it right, they're doing it wrong. Who knows what's happening? But they're moving the football effectively. In my mind, when I give it back to them, they're going to come down here and score. Now, that may be defeatist. That may be the wrong way to do it. I know stuff happens in between, and there are variables.
I agree with you.
But I want the football with as much time left as possible for a chance to win.
The feel of the game there just said, you're not stopping them another time. Plus, they're in four down at that point because they have to score a touchdown on that drive. So you have to add that to the algorithm as well, that they're going to get four chances instead of three and a punt or a kick. They're not kicking. So a offense that has been moving the ball for the last quarter on you with an extra down to operate, they're probably getting the ball back as it is close to midfield. You know, the likeliness there of pinning them deep is very, very small because you're punting from your own goal line. Frankly, in the end zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're punting
close to it,
way back, you know, in your own end zone. So, I don't know. To me, I understand why he didn't do it.
Of course.
And I totally get that it's so much easier on the outside. But that's one of those where I'll bet you in 5 or 6 years you'll see teams doing that regularly. Because it's like basketball. You want to have the ball last. You want to have possession. And someone could say, well, you can't just give them the ball 12 yards from the goal line instead of making them go 55. I just think in the feel of the game there, it was to me about having more time left. It all worked out. Didn't matter at all.
Of course.
They win the game via the Hail Mary. And if you just work back from the result, then a lot of things don't matter. I thought Terry McLaurin had an incredible game. The 13-yard catch, getting out of bounds, 2 seconds left, is the last play he made. The 61-yard catch and run down the sideline was awesome. 5 for 125 for him and 8 targets. Don't forget that Terry McLaurin's on pace for a career year. Not surprisingly, his first year with a terrific quarterback. But after going for a 125, he's number 4 in the National Football League now with 579 yards. He's 11th among wide receivers with 40 catches. McLaurin's on pace for 85 grabs, which would be 2 fewer than his career high. And he's on pace for 1,230 yards, which would break his own record.
Yeah, after that really sluggish start where we're going, what's the deal? What's going on? What's the problem? He's come on lately. Now, there are a couple guys that have, you know, only played 7 games, but he's still among the league leaders, I think is the point, which certainly stands. Quan Martin had double-digit tackles in this game. And I think whisper quiet, this is the one guy, you know, Ron Rivera with his feet up in front of the fireplace, sipping a beverage, can say, well, I got that one right. I really did. Okay. Took a while, but Quan Martin can play. That guy can play, has played now in multiple schemes, multiple systems, and he has found a nice little home here for this defense. 1 TFL, 11 tackles, I think 9 were solo. You don't stop a team like that without members of the secondary having to tackle. The way Swift moves and getting to the outside, having receivers that are running, some end-arounds, had a Dunze and a bunch of guys, always kind of get different bits of action. If you don't tackle well in the secondary, you don't beat a team like Chicago, and I thought they did yesterday.
All right, let's touch the people. They've been waiting patiently. Josh in Alexandria, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Well, you did make me cry earlier today. I wasn't expecting that. It was your line where you're saying you hadn't felt like this in 20 years, and you didn't even realize that you still had that club left in the bag with the new logo, new name, new all of that. That one caught me.
I get it, dude.
Well, you know what? I'll give Jaden Daniels the credit for that. I mean, the feels were there, man. No doubt.
Well, let's not forget about game balls and gassers. We had to cover this thing appropriately with all the euphoria of that epic Hail Mary. But I'd like to give a game ball or a gasser to Jonathan Allen. And this might be a little warm of a take here, but you know, at the early part of the season we're all saying we need more from the interior. They're supposed to be the strength of this unit, and we're just not seeing it. Prior to that injury in Cleveland, I can't unsee the tape I saw on Jonathan Allen. He's playing like Chase Young was after the knee operation. He's just taking plays off, getting completely taken out of a play just off a chip from a backer. And now Johnny Newton introduced himself to the United States of America. We got Kadarian Mathis enjoying his extra snaps. Everybody's eating Fowler, Luvu. I hate to say it. I love the guy, but something wasn't right with him. He was taking plays off, and I think the defense has vastly improved without him, as much as it, I hate to say it.
Well, look at the Thanks, last dude. 2 weeks, they've played at a very, very high level. There's no doubt that first time since 2011 that they have since 97, I mean, rather. Excuse me there. First time in 27 years that they have not allowed points in the first half for two straight games. I think they were going to get their act together with or without Allen. I don't think he's gone and so
yeah, it's hard
better.
To say there's causation there that you lost John Allen, so now the defense is better, but here's what's happened. They played better.
I'm not going to go hard in the paint like he did. I think there's some merit to what he said, though. Allen was not playing at his normal level, and you got a hungry guy in Mathis playing more and a guy in Newton who's getting his first crack at
it. He was real good yesterday.
He was impactful. Let's go to Austin and Fairfax. We're coming to Fairfax, by the way, for our Friday field trip. Hopefully, we'll see you out there this Friday at Craft House, Austin.
Oh, Craft House? I love Craft House. How you guys doing? I love the show.
Appreciate you.
See you Friday.
I'm living on, like, cloud nine right now, to be honest with you. You know, the ball is just falling the right way. And I feel like there's something special going on right now. It's a little bit bigger than just the team. It's the community. It's the, you know, I own an appliance company in this area, and I wore my Jaden Daniels jersey to work today.
That's awesome.
And I got more compliments today than I have ever gotten wearing a Commanders jersey in this area.
Dude, the Commanders gear.
Yeah, it used to be like, dude, you're so brave.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's everywhere. I actually posted a picture on my Twitter account last night at Grant H. Paulson. I don't know if you saw this, Danny, but there were four dudes walking out of the stadium. The picture only really shows three of them, but they had just purchased, pretty obviously, brand new, fresh Jaden Daniels jersey.
Just crisp.
And they were sitting on top of their hoodies, you know, the hood poking out through the hole there at the top. And they had the tags dangling out the back. You could still see. And they got the bags, their Fanatics bags coming out of the team store. And they just got these jerseys. And I can't imagine how many they sold last night. But we talked about this.
Yep.
The if you build it, they will come thing. If you win, that name's not going anywhere.
That's right.
They moved a couple of products last evening, I'd imagine, at the team store. John's in Herndon. What's up, buddy?
You know, about 9 weeks ago, I told you guys that what I wanted for this season was just to see progress. Last night was the single greatest live sporting event I've had in my entire 68 years.
Wow.
It is a special time. I think this is a special team. I think I said JP, you know, that, you know, it felt like Seattle when they won their first Super Bowl. That was a special team. I'm not saying we're going to Super Bowl, but we got 10 wins. We're going to do at least 10 wins. This is real forward progress. And I just love you guys. You know, your analysis, your fandom. Keep it up, guys. Stay healthy. I want you around for a long time for three more Super Bowls.
Thank you, buddy.
Wow, appreciate
we'll
you, brother.
One, but
we'll,
three
we can get greedy
nice
later.
Too.
We'll get. Yes. Let's get that first one. We'll talk about more.
By the way, not pictured, even though we're talking about the improvement of the defense, is the job that Quinn and Witt have done with that group. They were dead last at the midway point of last season in yards and points. And they rank 10th and 14th in those categories now. I'm not telling you they're really good. I'm not saying they're great. We don't know. But they are a middle-of-the-pack defense now. And where they were last year and even at the beginning of this year to right now, it's night and day.
Night and day. I mean, remember, the first 3 weeks, their opponent quarterback rating allowed, a.k.a. what you're doing against them, was 128, which is world-class record-setting MVP.
Yeah.
Right? If you do that for a season, you're having one, Dan Marino throwing 50 touchdowns. And they've cleaned it up.
This is what good coaching does for
you.
Jim's in Springfield. What's up, Jim?
Hey, boys. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy.
Hey, so you're thinking about the name. What about the last-minute miracle? I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
We'll take it.
All submissions are welcome.
The Monday night miracle, that goes with the last-minute miracle. How about the final second miracle?
Yeah, it just doesn't roll off the tongue as well, man.
That's
true.
I
know it was in the minute, but that's just what I was thinking.
I like it.
You know, I hope you guys do good, man. I'm not a Commanders fan. I live down here. You know, you guys picked me up. I'm a Ravens fan, so I was hurting yesterday. So it was good to see you guys win, though, man. That was all right.
Appreciate you. Yeah,
bro.
They got the business end of the dead cat bouncer in Cleveland. We're free of Deshaun Watson. Let's play our asses off.
Jameis Winston's pregame speech was a 10. He's got him in the huddle. He goes, play for the name on the back of the jersey and play for the name on the helmet. Wait, we don't have helmet decals. Just play for the name on the back of the jersey.
Isn't that yourself?
So funny.
He's a lot.
I don't know if he means to be. If he should be a comedian, I don't know.
Well, every once you'll look at some of the highlight moments for him just as a quick side, and you go, that's an unbelievable throw.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's stupid.
He was the number one pick in the draft, and he was the highest.
Like, you forget that guy can sling it sometimes.
He won the national championship. Uh-huh. He was a closer at Florida State, throwing 95 off the mound.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a closer in the big leagues if he went and played baseball. He's also just really, really funny. All right, let's play you out with Darius's production on the Hail Mary yesterday. You can relive it one final time. Tomorrow, we've got Austin Eckler at 5. We'll have Noah Brown, who caught the Hail Mary, on the show as well. Big thanks to Ryan and Dad for their production. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Enjoy your Monday evening.
Pumps down to one last play.
The plays also leading up to it were a really big deal, because when you're in that spot, you don't have timeouts, and we used one early, obviously, to get out of bounds, to give yourself a chance at the next play.
And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line.
I thought Jaden did a fantastic job of, you know, buying time, over to the right side. I don't know how long the play was. Maybe you guys might, but it took a long-ass time. 13 seconds, yeah. I felt every bit of them.
Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line.
Just throw the ball up, give my guys a shot. I didn't see anything.
We got Jaden Daniels, and we got 30 seconds on the clock, you know, so anything can happen.
And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle!
I was juiced up for sure. I'm excited because, I mean, that's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, not too many people get to experience stuff like that. That was my first time, so obviously I was juiced up the whole stadium, team, sideline, everybody.
It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness!
Man, we're blessed to have Five leading this team. You know, the things he can do is special. Just even that last play, keeping his composure, fighting like hell to get the ball off and threw a hell of a ball. I wouldn't want to play with any other quarterback. I'm glad to have him.
Town is going crazy!
I just heard people screaming and our silent rushing the field. So that's how I knew.
That's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Crazy, man. It's kind of just you feel the energy throughout the whole stadium, from everybody on the field to everybody in the stands, man. And, you know, I love the fan base here, man. I love the DMV. I love this organization, man. I couldn't be happier for them.
Thank you for coming.
I'm Toby Altizer with your sports update on The Fan. In the NFL, the Commanders are now 6-2 after their walk-off win yesterday against the Bears with an 18-15 win. Jaden Daniels hitting Noah Brown on a 52-yard Hail Mary as time expired. Daniels finished the day with 326 passing yards, the first time he's had 300 yards in his career, and 52 rushing yards, Noah Brown catching his first touchdown with the Commanders. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Giants taking on the Steelers at 8:15. You can hear the game right here on The Fan, and the Chiefs trade for Patriots outside linebacker Josh Uche. The Patriots get back a sixth-round pick. Basketball tonight, a matchup of the first two picks in this year's draft. The Wizards taking on the Hawks in Atlanta. 7:30 tip-off. You can hear that game over on the Team 980. And tonight, Game 3 of the World Series. Dodgers and Yankees at Yankee Stadium. 8:08 first pitch. Walker Buehler goes for L.A. Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. The Dodgers are up 2-0 in the series. From the Crop Metcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.